الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. مع بعض، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So, inshallah, if we have anyone that returned already from the Hajj, Hajj Mabrur, but I think most likely many have not returned yet, as many people go to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after if they didn't get a chance to do so beforehand. And so we'll continue with our talk on love and the ranks of love. This is the best time to do it while there's many in Medina, Al-Munawwara, having the most an experience of the most ecstatic and pristine kind of love there is. In fact, all other love, whether people realize it or not, stem from our love, this pristine love we have for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every kind of love, whether it's between a husband and wife, a filial love, paternal love, all of that, sibling love, friendship, all of that goes under our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, that's our spring, the spring for all of these kinds of love in the world. So this is what we're tasting. So the height of that, many of the Hujjaj are experiencing as we speak, alhamdulillah. May they return safely. So, by the way, at the end, I will ask questions about anyone who has read my book that is out now. And you can keep the recording on at that point, because that will benefit those who are listening online and on the podcast later, inshallah. So, looking at how the ulama broke down, because in English we just are very limited in the English language in describing love, even in the vocabulary. But the Arabic language, mashallah, has many, many words for love. So let's look at some of those. There is alaqa. Now, many might not think that this means this can be a form of love, but it's the primary description used, or the first one, because it's about connection. For any kind of love that we talk about, we want proximity. We want a connection with our beloved. So this is about our heart's attachment. In fact, even many poets in various cultures, Emily Dickinson said, parting is enough proof of hell. Meaning, ultimately, that this is what is the driving force. Love is what drives all of us. And the parting, this is why the ulama say, they would consider themselves not believers if they forgot the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a second, for a moment, if we can imagine that. Now, so that tells us how much more we have in aspiration and implementation to make up for when we compare ourselves. So, subhanAllah, and it can be broken down. Many people don't realize this aspect of the deen, because you see, these are the same people that we think of as great scholars. They're studying all the time, and we see them as brilliant, encyclopedic men and women who walk with this immense knowledge. But over and encompassing all of that, enveloping all of that, is their throbbing heart for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, that's the driving force that gives them the ability to continue to do these studies. It gives people like Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, the ability to not sleep at all. When we look even at contemporary times, like our Sheikh Muhammad Hafizullah, he hardly sleeps. But what is the driving force there? I think anyone who knows Sheikh Muhammad would be able to answer that. It's his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is the driving force behind everything that he does, that he receives tawfiq in his studies from, and continued on his journey, and always asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more ma'rifah. This is his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the spring for all of our love, this lack of connection. And so we want that. And so we have this connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All other loves become that much more delightful and tasteful. And when there is hardship, we'll get into some of the other meanings now, and this will give us a clue that almost all these meanings have hardship contained within them. And that's the nature of love. So another rank of love or definition is irada, or desire. There's no way one can talk about love without having desire. Now, all the Hujjaj that are there, that just completed the pilgrimage, they had to have desire first to get there. As we know, there are many people who have desire and don't make it for many years. As I mentioned last week, Sayyidina Shaykh Hafizullah has not gone for 6 years, although each year he's been attempting to go. But the desire, was it ever gone? Absolutely not. In fact, the proof was that he attempted, he did everything that he had to do in order to get there, in terms of applying and all that. As I said, it was just a visa in each case in the last 6 years that ultimately he couldn't make it. But the desire for sure was always there. So desire, irada, is part and parcel of any type of love that we talk about. And it's, so the definition, inclination of the heart to the beloved and active pursuit of the beloved. So we can't say that we have irada, because this is the whole claim. If we say we have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then where's the proof? Where is our proof if we're not doing anything? And this is why the ulama constantly tell us that if we claim to be lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we those whom he subhanahu wa ta'ala would find at night turning to him? Every lover turns to his beloved at nighttime. And so that's part and parcel of this definition. And then we have sababa, and that means an ardent love. Now this word in Arabic, sabba, the root meaning means like a slope. So the definition is an ardent love, sababa, but it means a slope, a flowing downhill. And what does that indicate? It indicates that there's absolutely no control. And in fact, even the English language has this. Why do we say falling in love? Why do we use that phrase? When you think about it, it's because it happens all of a sudden. You just fall. And so this sababa also has that connotation that you're going downhill. You have absolutely no control when you go downhill. A teenager who's first learning how to drive probably remembers if they go on a steep downhill, it's very frightening because there's no control. So that's the nature of this kind of love, so that our ardent love. And this is what we want to have. We want to have this overflowing type of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a route, of course, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have another word that's used is gharam, or infatuation. And if you look at this word as well, in the Arabic language, it has this connotation of paying a fine. So here we get this idea of some kind of pain involved with love. So it's a love that's fixed within the heart, but it has this creditor's attachment. Like a creditor has an attachment to the one in debt. That's why he's called the gharim, if you take the word literally, where it's coming from. So this kind of inseparable form, that's the type of attachment there is. And so there will at times be a pain involved with it. And we know that. But every time, if we look in hindsight, when we are hurt by a loved one, and if we were patient with that pain, we will see that each one of those times we experience any kind of pain from a loved one, and here's the clause, if we were patient with it, you're always fine, because it's a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will have been doors opened from that pain, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompenses us for that, because it's one of the hardest things to go through. So as long as we're patient, there will be fruits coming out of that. And this is why those who pass that test never give up on love. And this is a big, big test. And ultimately, wal'iyadu billah, the ultimate love test is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, people fail with this in the minor dunyawi test, when girlfriends and boyfriends, astaghfirullah, but just to use an example, they're not even married, and they have this intense pain, because that's the nature. Of course it's going to be painful when there's breakups and so on. But if we all of a sudden, instead of just turning the whole matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being patient, start doing the opposite. This is when we see what we're really made up of, in other words. Because you see the different reactions that happen to people. You see it all the time in the celebrity world. When there's a breakup, they'll start saying the most horrific things about the other person, as if they never loved that person. So obviously it's all a test. Whereas if they were patient and just turn the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will find immense fruits. At the very least, what will happen is they will part affably and amicably. And this is what happened with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. By the way, a couple of things to be said about that. During the time of the Sahaba, there would hardly be anyone who was left unmarried. The women, this is why there were because there were some who took more than one wife, but even if we didn't get into that, if there was someone who was a widow, it would be known that she would be the first that they would ask to take her hand in marriage, just not to leave the women alone. So that's the first thing. There would hardly be anyone left unmarried. And secondly, if there was a divorce, it would be done very, very amicably. So this would never take place. So these are the things these are some matters we need to put back into society. And as Muslims, we should be the first ones to bring this precept of the Sahaba as an example to society, to either way keep the love there. You know, a lot of poets have written about that, that love never dies. It's just we don't pass the test. We let the anger rise to the surface and say things we ultimately, if we thought about it, don't mean in those moments. And then it's hard to take back. And because of that, things spiral and the other person starts saying things and it becomes a huge snowball effect. But if just one of the two remained patient and turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it wouldn't have this roller coaster snowball effect, and things in fact can turn around. So, then we have wudad, which is affectionate love, and as we know, wudud is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. This is pure unadulterated love at its core. So, it's an all-encompassing kind of love. And then we have sharaf, or enamored love. And that's when it reaches the inner layers of the heart. Imam Junaid, or Imam actually defined it the best. He said that this sharaf, it's the kind of love that when the lover sees absolutely no sternness from his beloved, rather what he sees is all justice and loyalty. So no matter what the beloved does, it's going to be, it's khayr. So, in other words, some of the Sufis describe this as not caring whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in hell or heaven, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon them. And that's the calling of their beloved. That's all that they care about. The fact that their beloved called on them, that's such an intense thing. So that would be the definition of sharaf. Then we have ishq, or passionate love. And this is the extreme love that that would cause fear, and it can and go in heightened levels. Now, we kind of don't see much of this either, in terms of passion, actually, not just in between people for ideas. This applies to ideas as well, or events or things we want to change. We see a huge dearth of passion in society. And if you read my book, you'll know that I think that a lot of that is coming from this stagnant place we are in with our health, and the status of the mass is not having optimal health. So we don't really have a lot of passion for a lot of the things that we do. But alhamdulillah, those who have read, actually, I should say, jazakallah khairan for those who emailed me after reading. In fact, every single person who read so far emailed me right after the first few pages that they couldn't put it down. So jazakallah khairan. We'd love to see how it will open up into the non-Muslim community, inshallah. And we have tatayum, which is a subservient love, and this is the one that's done with worship and humility, what we should have in every prayer, inshallah, because we want to have that coupled with the fear and all the other layers that we talked about. And then da'bud is worship, just plain worship, and this is also a subservient love, and recognizing that we are inferior and we have nothing to claim and we have absolutely nothing to possess. And then there's khullah, which Ibrahim alayhi salam had, this intimate friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had this rank. It's the love that permeates the heart and soul of the lover so much that there remains no place for anything except the beloved, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, ultimately, in tasawwuf, this is the secret that all of life is based upon these two letters, ha and ba, that hum, and it also means seed, so it's the essence of everything. And this is why all other sciences actually go underneath this category. Because at the beginning level, the beginner has this, and you have this at the end, and you hope to have it increase all the way in the middle as we're going through all the other sciences, if we're studying it. If we're not, then the test that we go through throughout life. But either way, we begin with love, and we end, inshallah, at a much higher elevated love, so that it goes to the highest rank in the akhirah with the beatific vision, inshallah ta'ala. So I'll end with an anecdote of Isa alayhi salam, who was passing by a group of devout worshippers, and their bodies were emaciated and their skin color had changed due to their constant fervent worship. And he asked them, "Who are you all?" And he said, "We're worshippers," or they said, "They're worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And he replied, alayhi salam, "And why do you worship?" And they said, "Allah asked us to fear his fire, so we're afraid of it. And this is what causes us to worship." Isa alayhi salam said to them, "Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you security from that which you fear." And then he went on to find another group of people who were even more fervent in their worship. And so he asked them, "Why do you worship?" And they replied, "Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to long for his paradise, and he promised us that, so we hope for it with our worship." Isa alayhi salam said to them, "Indeed, Allah has given you that for which you hope." And he continued on to find another group of people engaged in worship, and he asked them who they are. And they said, "We're lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't worship out of fear of his fire or out of longing for his paradise. Rather, we worship him out of love for him." and of exaltation of His Majesty. Isa alayhi salam said to them, "You're the true saints of Allah, awliya Allah. I've been ordered to take my company amongst you." So, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who have this highest desire of loving Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومعه أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومعه أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومعه أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الفاتحة. Is there any questions regarding the book? You can keep the recording on, so that those who are listening online can also have that answer. Otherwise, we'll end it there, and I'll make some commentary.
Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Asr. I had just seen that the book was online today. I just started reading a little bit.
Mashallah.
I was wondering, I just noticed that Dr. Hoffer had passed away. I don't know if you mentioned later in the book, but I just, like, I'm on page 17 or so. But I was wondering, how did he pass away? If you...
You know, I think it was just naturally. He was
okay,
92. I don't recall anything happening to him. I believe just a natural passing.
Okay. Jazakallah khair. Thank you for that.
He was very charming. I was really happy that we had met him. Alhamdulillah. He was very, very charming and gracious with everything that he taught in his life.
Mashallah. I do like it. Flows well so far. I'm looking forward to reading it. I really like the blue color. But inshallah, I'll be able to give you better comments later, maybe once I read more, inshallah.
Inshallah. Looking forward to comments from doctors like yourself, Sikh, because I want to know the impact that it has on you, because you're in a position to do a lot more once, because already being in the field, then you would have a lot more at your disposal, inshallah. By the way, Sidi Tariq, I mentioned to you last week, you had asked about what the pain for someone who's addicted to opiates and how to get them off, or is there something besides vitamin C, if they don't want to do the natural route, there's something called Suboxone. You probably know about it, Allahu A'lam, but I just thought if you don't, then I'd mention that. It's pretty beneficial to get them off their addiction, the painkillers.
No, exactly clear. I think Suboxone does require some special training, but I put some patients on it. But Barakallahu Fik, thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anyone else? Let's see. I'm going to check to see if the sisters have some questions. Give me one second.
Okay. By the way, while waiting to see if there's any other questions, while you're telling your friends and family members, inshallah, about the book, please let them know that part of the proceeds will be going to Sacred Knowledge and, directly to Sayyidina the Sheikh. We need to, the whole point is I'm trying to get some things going so that I don't need to go that often. Jazakallah khair to all of you who supported tremendously and generously Sacred Knowledge, with what we need to do for the work behind everything that Sayyidina Sheikh does. But what I'm trying to do is get these kinds of works out there so we can, just spread it with this kind of, also benefit people and not continually have to do fundraisers, but also they'll get some benefit in buying the book, hopefully, inshallah, and then I will go towards that.
I didn't have any questions. They just wanted to give their salams. I think Ren and I are going to be reading it, I'm sure, within this next week. So,
inshallah. By the way, a special request, if everyone could make dua. I don't know if my sister is there in the gathering, but my father is in the hospital. They found that he might have a tumor in the neck area, and it might be compressing his spine. So we're making dua, inshallah. So if you could do that, that'd be they're scheduling a surgery for later in the week, but I'm hoping that see, again, it's hard to be in my position and teach a tiny more people to get on the bandwagon and learn this stuff that I know, especially doctors, because it's hard for me as one person. And then the more people we have that understand there's so many other routes people could go to, then society will start realizing there are other routes they could go to. And I'm telling you, the other routes that are there have such high efficacy rates without any side effects that people would be shocked and alarmed that it even existed. I mean, some people might be extremely angry that nobody told them this before. But, so, you know, I could do my little portion, but we need more people to know this information so that we could just help each other, inshallah. So, I mean, in my case, I told my dad, obviously it's a very, you know, delicate place where he has, where they think he has his tumor, but even so, I would know certain people that know how to shrink those tumors, but, you know, I can't, you know, it's hard to explain this to people right when it happens, because there's a whole paradigm shift that has to happen before people, and then, so if we're losing, if we're having all these things happen to our friends and family members, that's not the right time to tell them those things when they're given with such, that's my whole point, is to tell them these things before they get themselves into a position where they have to make such a decision. Then at least they will know what the choices are that are out there. They have to start dipping into this vast other pool of scientifically proven work that is out there. And so, you know, that's the other line. They'll assume that none of this is proven, it's just quackery, but that's not the case. These are, in fact, the real scientists doing all of this work. Usually it takes, and statisticians know this, it takes about 2 decades for hospitals and the standard practitioner, a physician, to get the knowledge that is happening with scientists. And that's the scientist that is within the network. And these scientists I'm talking about are not even in the network, so I don't know how long that will take. These are independent scientists that are doing this work that is covered in my book, with their own money for the most part, independent researchers, which means they had nothing going for them in terms of doing it for any money, but passion. Many of these cases, these doctors or scientists were maligned. They had their money taken away. They were sued, ridiculed. Most of them had to flee the country because of the laws with FDA, CDC, and so on. But they still, because of their passion for what they found, this, which is ultimately truth, they continue to try to find a place where they can help people, ultimately. And a lot of them, if you look at the history, what happens is they end up going to Mexico or sometimes Scandinavian countries, wherever they're allowed to continue their true scientific study without having to worry about answering to Big Pharma, who runs the entire network elsewhere. Okay, Jazakallah khairan. If there's nothing further, then inshallah, if you could just make that dua for my father, barakallah fikum, and inshallah, we'll hear you again next week.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Walaikum salam.
Inshallah. Everyone gives their salam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Sorry.
Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la